I'm sorry, for the uninsured and underinsured. The question is, when the federal government stops funding these programs, what happens? And that's what her story is about.
Thank you.
Public health at its finest. Actually, I was recently married, so my slide said, although I registered under APHA under my, single name, and then now that I'm married, my name is actually Wilma Robinson. Yay! So today I'm going to discuss a study that AFSCME conducted with NORC at the University of Chicago regarding the sustainability of community coalitions. So when you talk about community coalitions, you think about diverse organizations that form an alliance in order to pursue a common goal. The activities of community coalitions are varied. They often include advocacy, outreach, education, prevention, service delivery, capacity building, empowerment, community actions, you name it. You know, it runs the gamut in terms of their goal and focus. In the arena of health, community coalitions are increasingly being used to bolster the safety net system, improve quality of care, disease management, and other emerging community health issues. HHS often provides short-term initial funding to community coalitions to work toward important health goals that cannot be achieved by a single community organization. However, little is known about how and if these community coalitions are able to continue their activities and sustain their impact over time. And understanding the sustainability of community coalitions is particularly important today given decreasing funds and increasing needs where we're forced to do more with less. And more the federal government is moving to a kind of systems approach to addressing the community needs in general. So no longer are we providing $500 million to fund a particular grant or a particular project that's solely service focused. We're more moving towards communities, coalitions and systems development and pieces of the pie that are carved out for a large number of players in a particular community. There are several, and just as an example, you can look at the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 and the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act of 2010, where we funded the community prevention, Putting Prevention to Work Initiative, the CPPW, and the Community Transformation Grants, which were recently released in September, both of which have a community coalition focus. So NORC and AFSCME are currently wrapping up. We haven't quite completed this study yet, but we felt like we've learned some interesting things that we wanted to share with you about sustainability and community coalitions. We're looking at the Community Access Program and the Healthy Community Access Program that were initially funded from 2000 to 2005. HHS funded about 261 CAP and HCAP community coalitions. That's the acronym that we use to capture those coalitions. And the goal was to accomplish a range of goals that improved health for underserved populations. In 2006, the program was unfunded, and then currently we know very little about what has happened to these projects since we removed funding in 2006. The whole goal of community coalitions is that, you know, our thinking is that we have a large group of people working on a large topic that will be able to address some of the needs in a particular area, but we know nothing about what happens once we remove the initial funding for those projects. Do those community coalitions continue? Do they continue to try and service the needs of the community? Do they switch focus and expand their reach to take on new needs or new things that need to happen in those communities? So we embarked upon this study to look at these coalitions today to see whether they've been sustained, how they've changed, what their outcomes are, and what we can learn from them about the sustainability of federally funded coalitions in general as we seek to fund a new crop of community coalitions. And the overall objective of the project is to learn more about what happens to the dynamics of coalitions that have been built around grant funding once that funding is no longer present, as well as to understand the effectiveness of community coalitions over time. So this I went backwards, I'm sorry. So the survey methods, there are basically four methods to the study. One was a environmental scan where we used to develop a conceptual framework because, as we'll talk about later, the literature on community coalitions and the literature on sustainability is so varied. We really wanted to be able to capture how we would understand whether or not an organization or a community coalition had actually been sustained. So we did an extensive environmental scan. We also did a survey for 261 community coalitions to assess the state of sustainability status and information about the coalitions and its activities, which will be the focus of today's presentation. And then we also conducted interviews with 25 sustained and not sustained coalitions and 6 site visits with sustained coalitions. These data are presently being analyzed. We just actually completed the site visits, but that information will not be presented today. So the questionnaire assessed coalition sustainability status, structure, detailed program activities, sustainability activities, and perceived impacts in the time since the CAP and HCAP funding ended. A self-administered paper survey was mailed to the most knowledgeable individuals at the 261 coalitions. Contact information for each coalition was obtained using grantee records from HRSA, which is the Health Resources and Services Administration within HHS, and confirmed using web searches, the white pages, all the other investigative tools we use to kind of locate a grantee that has since been, funding has since ended. And the survey was sent to the grantees along with a cover letter from HHS describing the study, providing contact information, and explaining their participation was voluntary. Non-respondents received follow-up prompting via postcard, phone, and emails that included a link to a web-based version of the questionnaire. And then the study, the fielding period was from March 10th to May 31st, 2011. And during the fielding period, we learned that 4 coalitions were identified as duplicate cases. 3 of the duplicates were coalitions that received a second funding or grant under a slightly different name, and 1 of the 4 coalitions merged with another CAP-HCAP coalition and responded as a single coalition. So our overall response rate was about 64% for an N of about 165%. The issue of whether or not a coalition has been sustained since receiving federal funding is central to this project. The question of sustainability is also complicated by how to categorize a coalition, as there is not one widely accepted definition of coalition sustainability, as I mentioned earlier. The primary divergence among definitions is in the literature relates to the unit of analysis. What is being sustained? Some definitions focus on sustaining the program or the coalition, while others focus on sustaining the activities and the impacts of the program or the coalition. And we basically looked at both. So for the purpose of this project, a sustained coalition is defined as an alliance of 3 or more organizations that are addressing 1 or more of the original goals of the coalition. So for this slide, there's an accompanying handout that Kate will pass out to you. It was just too granular to put up on the screen and you'll be able to see it. But if you follow along, you can see the decision tree matrix and see what the results were. Overall, 113 of the coalitions were sustained, and that would be box 3 on that exhibit 1 with the decision tree. And 55 coalitions, which is about 49% of the sustained coalitions, reported addressing all of their original goals from the HCAP and CAP grant. That will be box 6 on your diagram. Of those 55, 33 expanded to add new goals, and 22, which is about 40%, did not add any additional goals. So most of the coalitions not only continue what they were doing, but they also added new goals as they moved forward. 58 of the sustained coalitions reported addressing at least one of their original goals from the CAP and HCAP grant. So they were sustained, but they only focused on one of their previous goals. And of those 58, 43 expanded to include additional goals on top of that one goal, and 15 just focused on that one goal from the previous HCAP funding. In total, 76, which is about 67% of the 113 sustained coalitions, are categorized as sustained and expanded, while 37 are characterized as sustained but not expanded, meaning they just maintain one of their original goals, one or more of their original goals. Respondents provided reasons why they expanded to add one or more new goals. Of the 76 sustained coalitions that expanded, 13% reported expanding to attract new coalition members, 29% reported expanding to qualify for new funding sources, and 90% reported expanding to address new or additional needs of the community. 13% cited other reasons for expansion, including expanding the coalition's mission, aligning goals with the Affordable Care Act legislation, and leveraging and building upon the existing coalition to tackle new problems. Of the not sustained group, 52 of the coalitions reported that there was no longer a coalition of three or more organizations. Of those, 35 of the coalitions dissolved due to issues such as funding or organizational problems, and 17 disbanded because of the coalition achieved all of its goals or was no longer needed in the community. The majority of these coalitions, this is the non-sustained coalition, 61% disbanded between 2005 and 2007, almost immediately after funding ended, basically. 18% disbanded between 2002 and 2005, and 21% disbanded between 2008 and 2010. Of the 113 sustained coalitions who provided responses to the survey's coalition activities, four coalitions, which is about 4%, reported that the coalition was not conducting any of the same activities it did during the CAP HCAP grant. 59 of the coalitions, about 52%, reported conducting at least one of the original activities, and 21 of the coalitions reported conducting all the same activities, and 29 reported conducting all the same activities plus new ones. So basically, the coalitions either that were sustained either continued to do what they were doing or expanded to include additional activities on top of what they were doing. Very few did all entirely new activities. Of the non-sustained coalitions responding to the activities questions, and these are those that we basically asked them, are any of the original activities that your coalition conducted during the HCAP still being conducted today, and by them or by someone else? And 10 reported that none of the coalition's original activities are being conducted by the coalition or organization or another coalition organization today. 26 reported that at least one activity is still being conducted, and 15 reported that all of the original activities are still being conducted. Some of the reasons why the sustained coalitions changed or added new activities were that priorities of funders changed, about 34% said that, to qualify for new funding, about 40% said that, changes in the demographics or needs of the target population, about 38% said that, and expanded reach to new population, 47% said that. Evaluation results suggested a need to change, 31%, which is, I think, says a lot that they actually evaluated their coalitions and adjusted and made changes based on that. And then other reasons such as, you know, extraneous factors like hurricanes and other things that caused them to change the needs of their coalition. So Sustained coalitions showed slightly more diversity in their current funding than not sustained coalitions. Sustained coalitions were more likely to have state and or local health department resources, other state resources, United Way, and foundation support than not sustained coalitions. So most of the sustained coalitions relied on other sources, not just the federal funding, whereas a lot of the sustained coalition, the majority of their funding were from federal sources. Sustained coalitions, about 60% had formal governance bodies such as a boards of directors and executive committees, more often than not sustained coalitions. Additionally, a solid majority of sustained coalitions reported formal membership structures compared with just under half of the not sustained coalitions. Equal proportions of sustained and not sustained coalitions had formal decision-making processes, but 58% of the sustained coalitions had formal processes for managing conflicts among members and between members and leadership compared to 23% of the sustained coalition. So that's important because if there was a discussion where or a disagreement within coalition members, they had a way to solve that disagreement, whereas some of the not sustained coalitions didn't have that body, and a lot of them parted ways. And so that's when you have members of coalitions falls off and you'll have less than three coalition members as not meeting the definition of sustained in our study. So experience of the leader. Although the modal category is the same for sustained and not sustained in terms of director years, so you have, if you look at that last column, 10 or more years, you had a lot of both sustained and not sustained leaders having experience in the 10 or more years category, but more of the sustained coalitions had more leaders in that 10 or more years category. I don't know if I said that correctly, but you can see that the number is a large difference between the two. The bolded numbers indicate significantly different at the P05 level, 0.05 level. Sustained coalitions integrated evaluation into sustainability more than not. Sustained coalitions also an emerging finding that we're seeing in the site visits as well. So evaluation was high among the sustained coalitions. 75% of the sustained coalitions said evaluation activities were very important for long-term sustainability planning compared to 48% of not sustained coalitions. Sustained coalitions were also slightly more likely to engage in outcome evaluations and use quantitative and qualitative evaluation methods compared to non-sustained coalitions who focus more on process evaluation and program monitoring. Sustained coalitions view sustainability in terms of the coalition itself. More often than not, sustained coalitions reviewed sustainability more in terms of the impacts and reach. So there's a difference in how they viewed, you know, what they did. Let me hurry up because I think I'm running out of time. Both sustained and not sustained coalitions developed sustainability plans within the HCAP grants, but I think the biggest difference is that the sustained coalitions actually put those plans to action and they actually worked through the plans, whereas the not sustained kind of just developed a sustainability plan. It should be noted that a third of the not sustained coalition said they disagreed with the statement that leaders were continuously involved in sustainability planning, whereas the sustained coalition, 18%, felt like their leaders were involved. So a large majority were involved. I'm going to fast forward to some of the summary points. Overall, HCAP coalitions have fared fairly well since the HCAP funding ended. 113 of the 165 surveyed were actually sustained. 68% of responding coalitions were sustained. Of those, 67 had expanded beyond their original focus. There were limited differences between sustained and not sustained coalition characteristics. The few significant differences included the formal structure, having governance bodies and conflict resolution bodies, diversity of funding, and experience in leadership. Sustained coalitions emphasize the importance of demonstrating results for sustainability, and sustained replanning was not enough. There needed to be action throughout the life of the program. And implications for this study can help policymakers adjust expectations about the number of coalitions likely to be sustained after grant period. We tend to think that everything we do is going to be sustained and people are going to go on and on. But making having them actually develop sustainability plans throughout that they actually can implement and think about what is it that they want to sustain. Maybe not everything needs to be sustained, but think about the components that can be sustained and think about how the coalitions are built to adapt and adjust to the changing needs of the community. It can also help funders understand coalition factors to look for to increase chances of sustainability, which I just talked about, and it emphasized the importance of sustainability plans for coalitions, but also the capacity to carry out the plan. I think the government, at least HHS, we're embarking upon a large initiative to look at sustainability of our projects and to really try to come up with a universal definition of sustainability for our grant projects, but not just a definition, but a way of providing TA, a way of educating the grants on developing sustainable plans and figuring out throughout what components of their projects do they want to sustain. So it's a thing that we're trying to grab a hold with as we put out new information and new grants and new services. Thank you.